Okay, we'll go to Matthew chapter 7 to start. I wanted to look at the topic of authority today. Matthew 7. I think the children will appreciate this because they're under authority all the time, but they'll probably more appreciate understanding the authority that they have. And in Matthew 7, verse 24, we read, this is Jesus Christ speaking here, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. These weren't, when Jesus Christ spoke, they weren't just words, just like the Pharisees were saying. The words had power behind them. There was an authority there. Right? Verse 1 of chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Did Jesus Christ have a certain authority? Apparently, right? Able to just cleanse leprosy. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. So this man who was ahead of a Roman soldier, who was ahead of 100 soldiers, came to him, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. So he was willing to go and heal this servant. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. He's ahead of 100 soldiers, so he's a man who has authority. He's got authority over those soldiers. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And another, come, and he comes. And in the military, if you don't do what you're told, there's consequences, right? So he has the authority over those men. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So whatever the guy said, the soldiers or the servant just did it, right? That's why he was saying, I have authority. And Jesus heard it, verse 10. He marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith or believing, no, not in Israel. What was he talking about? What was he saying? This guy had great faith. Why was he saying he had great believing? Because the man said, Look, you don't have to come to my house. You just have to say the word, and my servant will be healed. Just the same way I have authority over these men, I know you have authority over the sickness. Right? So Jesus Christ said, Wow. I've never seen this kind of believing, not amongst Israel, right? And that's pretty simple. He said, I know you. All you got to do is say the word, and the sickness is gone. And Jesus marveled. It probably took a lot for Jesus Christ to marvel, right? For the most part, in the records we read in the Gospels, he's not really marveling, is he? He's more like, oh my goodness, right? You guys don't believe. Oh, little faith. And here this one guy comes and he goes, wow. You know, good example to us. We ought to believe that the words in God's word have authority. The same way as a centurion said, look, Jesus, all you got, you don't have to even go there, right? And it gets more interesting. Verse 11. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go your way, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Why? Because his word had authority. There was authority behind the words he spoke. And healed all that were sick. All of them, right? Cast out all the dead spirits that required and healed all that were sick. Now, I want you to pay attention when we read these records, because I want you to see yourself in the same position that Jesus Christ was in. Right? You and I have to be convinced that we have the same authority. God's word has to tell us that we have that. We're going to look at that quickly and briefly, but you have to think, you know, we can look at Jesus Christ and say, wow, wasn't that wonderful, right? However, many thousand years ago, we can say, wow, that was great. It was great Jesus Christ did this. There's more to God's word than us just looking at it and saying, well, wasn't it great what Jesus Christ did, right? You and me have to be willing to do the same things that he did. And we have to be convinced that we can do the same things that he did, right? In Luke chapter 4. Now, your kids might think, well, you know, I don't know very much, or I'm young, or how could I do? Well, it doesn't. There's no age limit to the records that we're reading. There's no limit on age here. In Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all them that are bruised. This was Jesus Christ's ministry, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said unto him, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. That's Elijah. Remember that record? When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Remember that widow? I mean, he said, and Jesus Christ said, look, there were a lot of widows around then, but Elijah was sent to that widow. And by the way, Sarepta, that was a city where there were Gentiles, okay? Not believers, Gentiles. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha. That's Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Was Naaman a believer or of Israel? He was also a Gentile, right? So he's got two examples. He said, listen, back then, a lot of widows, but only one got healed, or one got blessed. A lot of lepers, but that one got healed, right? And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these words, things were filled with wrath. They got angry. They said, oh, how dare, you know, we get blessing to the Gentiles? And rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst, then went on his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And when they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Right? Same record. They were astonished at what he said. You know, just like me and you. You know, a lot of time you speak the word to somebody, and they just think they're just words. You know, it's just another religious guy saying the same stupid stuff we've heard all our lives. You know, that's up to me and you. When you speak God's word, you have every right to speak with authority. Why? Whose authority? Yours? Like when you know your kids, you tell your friends something. Well, it's not just you. Jesus Christ said, if they reject my words, who do they reject? God. When you speak the word, the authority behind the words you speak, whether you're speaking to a cold, a leprosy, a person, a broken arm, whatever you're speaking to, that word has authority. A devil spirit, that word has authority. And you got to know, and I got to know, that my words, when we speak, have authority. The authority of God behind them. That's what they were astonished at. In the synagogue, there was a man, verse 33, which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice. So the spirit cries out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Who's speaking here? The spirit. The spirit was in the man. And when Jesus Christ appeared, the spirit starts speaking, saying, leave me alone. Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. He goes, I know, I recognize you, the Spirit. This is the devil spirit. The devil spirit recognized the authority that was there. It could not stay. It recognized Jesus Christ's authority. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Look at Luke chapter 9, please. You know, most of us have taken the class on walking in God's power. Right? The class is not meant to be walking in just the literature of God, right? Oh, I know what the literature says. I can quote the literature of God. It says walking in God's power, right? We have to believe that what the Word of God says. When Jesus Christ spoke, they were astonished because His Word had power. When you speak, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, it doesn't matter. When you speak the words of God, they have the same authority behind them, right? It doesn't matter who does the speaking. The words are from who? God. Who backs up that word? God does, right? In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So Jesus Christ gave them the authority they needed. It's a question of authority. You know, once you have the authority, you can use it, right? You know, I'm a father. I have kids, you know. I have authority over the children. I'm allowed to exercise. God has given me that authority, not the state, nor can the state take it away from me, right? This is God who gave it to me. I have the right and to exercise that authority over them. Whether they accept it or not, it's up to them, granted, right? But I have that authority. When you're a believer, you have a certain authority, right? We'll see that in a minute. Luke chapter 10. So he gave them the authority in Luke 9. And did it again in chapter 10. Remember, this is all before Jesus Christ had finished the work that he was going to do. In Luke 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Down in verse 17, when they came back. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They said, we were using your name, and guess what? The spirits listened to us. We had power over them. Right? They used the name, they used Jesus Christ's name, because he had given them the authority to do that. So they used his name, they came back saying, wow, these devils were listening to us. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In other words, you guys had an impact when you guys went out. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You have salvation, you have eternal life, and at the same time as you're living here, guess what? You have authority. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, he told them, right? Look at the power and authority they had. Now we go to Acts chapter 8, please. So these men did great things. And I know many people will look back on the great things those men did and say, wow, they were great men. Isn't it great those guys did such wonderful things? If only there were such great men living today that could do the same wonderful things. Right? Well, there are. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus Christ was about to ascend, he told them, but you shall receive power. Didn't they already have power? Didn't we just read a little few records about what the things they could do? Right. They had power over sickness, disease. They had power over devil spirits. They had power, but yet Jesus Christ saying to them, you're going to receive power. Right. So what he was talking about must have been even greater power, greater authority that was coming, and it was. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he was telling them that there was greater power coming. And we just read the power that he had and the things the 70 did, the things the apostles were able to do, cast out spirits, heal the sick, raise the dead. All those things, and he was saying, you're going to get power, right? In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. See, we have to get to the point where these are just not words to us. You know, as you read the Bible or you hear it being taught or you think about, these are not just words. When you need the authority, you're going to see that you have the authority. You have the power within you, and you have the right to use that authority. But if you don't believe it, then you'll never do it, right? When Jesus Christ walked in there, that spirit and that man said, whoa, what are you doing here? You can't, you know, please don't disturb me, right? Why? Recognize the authority. Did Jesus Christ believe he had the authority? Absolutely, without a doubt, without question, right? In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See that gift that Jesus Christ talked about on Acts 8 that was coming? Now it dwells in us. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You have the Spirit in you. But if the Spirit of him, verse 11, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. More than once, about three or four times says there, the Spirit dwells in you. The power, that authority that Jesus Christ said was coming, we all have it. It lives within us. The Holy Spirit is within us. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's no longer a question of Jesus Christ coming to these men and saying, here, I'm going to give you authority. You have it. You have it with the Holy Spirit that was given to you. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and in And see, these verses we're looking at, I mean, you ought to know these verses. You ought to know where they are. If you ever have a question of, well, can I really do what the Word of... You ought to know what these verses say. You ought to be able to bring them to the back of your mind and say, where was that verse that we looked at about how I've got authority over this? And like Vij was saying before, fellowship. You meditate in the Word of God. You think about it. And if I don't have those verses ready in my mind, I'm not going to be able to think about them. I'm not going to be able to bring them to my remembrance, you know, when I need them. Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that's you, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. Where is Christ now? Christ in you, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, here, look at the authority here, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That's where God raised Jesus Christ. He put him far above all principality, all power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's the authority that you have now. above all, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are part of the body of Christ. We also are above all dominion, power, might. You have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't have to come to you now and say, listen, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions. You've got it. You've already been given it. Now, the only thing left is for me and you to use the authority that we've been given. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness and access with confidence. Why? We've been given the authority. Jesus Christ has died for us. God raised him, seated him at his right hand. The Holy Spirit was given. We've received it, and now we have bold and confident access to him. Right? Not hesitant access, not, well, do I really have it? I see, you know, we read the verses, but I guarantee you that people will talk you or try to talk you out of the authority you have, right? You know, why do you think when we see, hear about all those cases about devil spirit possession, when people's, eyes flare up or they vomit or they do all kinds of, why do you think the devil does that? Why do you think he does that? To put fear into your life, to make you meditate on his words, to make you think about his things, and to make you afraid, so you say, well, I don't have the authority, or how could I possibly? It's to make you question your authority. We ought to meditate on this right here. I don't know those verses cold where it says, you have been given the authority over all that, and you are seated in the heavenlies at God's right hand, able, if you get sick, you have the right to say, sickness, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't believe you have that authority, you're never going to do it. Or if you just say it without thinking, well, I'm not sure, it's not going to happen. But if you're convinced, that's the whole thing about Naaman, when eventually he got convinced, he got healed of the leprosy. When the woman finally believed him, she got delivered, right? It's not a matter of you and I walking through every hospital and raising every sick patient. It's a matter of a desire. If you got the desire on one side and the authority on the other side, it's a done deal, right? So if I'm sick, then I have every right in the name of Jesus Christ. I have authority over that. If I don't believe it, I won't use it. If I get talked out of it, it won't work, right? So how do I get to believing it? Well, meditate. Think God's word. Know where it's at. If I don't even know this stuff exists in here, then I'm never going to use that. Never. I'm never going to be convinced of it. I'll never get to it. Acts 3. A few more verses here. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1. Now when Peter and John, this is after Jesus Christ had done his work and they had received the Holy Spirit, of which we just read about in Ephesians and Romans. Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So this guy had never walked. We know the record. He had never walked before. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now he didn't, I'm sure, I mean, it doesn't say it here, okay, but I don't know. When they were walking along, this man is sitting at the temple. Peter didn't just walk by and say, hey, look over here, I'm sure that he said to the man, as far as the record here shows, he probably said to the man, hey, you, look on us. Right? There was a certain authority there. It wasn't a matter of, if you got a few seconds, could you mind maybe come over and we'll have a little chat? He said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? What was he able to give to the man that he had? He had the authority and the right to use the name of Jesus Christ to heal that man. That's what he did. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why could he say that? Why can you say that? How come, you know, when your friends get hurt or sick, you know, hurt, why are you allowed to do that? We just read it, right, in Romans. The Spirit of God, God raised Jesus Christ, right hand, give him the authority and the right to use the name of Jesus Christ. You have the authority. So Peter here used it in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. His feet and ankle bones could not reject the authority that Peter had. Unable to. The same way the Spirit couldn't reject the presence of Jesus Christ, those bones could not reject the authority that Peter had. You can't. When the authority is used, you know, his words had power. They were astonished because he spoke with authority. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 12. Acts chapter 3, sorry. 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at us? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness," in other words, that we're so holy and good that we were able to make this man to walk. It wasn't by their own power or holiness. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus." You know, remember, we read about that. "Whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead." We just read about it in Ephesians. And that's when God gave that power, when he raised him from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness, not just a bit of healing, perfect soundness in the presence of you all. A man 40 years never walked from being completely lame to perfectly sound, and all by the use of a few words. Think about it. You want to meditate on something someday? Sit down and meditate on that for a while and think about it. A few choice words used to take a man from not being able to walk to being perfectly sound, leaping and praising God, right? Words. Just words. Words with authority behind them. In Acts chapter 4, they call these men on the carpets, so to speak, about this. And they replied in chapter 4, verse 7. "And when they had set Peter and them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," there it is again, "whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole, completely and perfectly sound." Right. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," just fishermen, "they marveled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus." The power and the authority of Jesus Christ they saw in Peter and John. Right? The power and authority in Jesus Christ the world needs to see in you. Right? They need to see it. There can be no question. You know, this is all we have for faith and practice, the Word of God. If it says it in here, then it is true. If some other preacher, minister, pastor, I don't care who, wants to say different, they're wrong. The Word is true. Now, if you go by the Word of God, you're assured of success. If you go by the words of men, who knows? We'll close in Philippians chapter 2. Let's not let the world talk us out of the authority that has been given to us by God. Ephesians chapter 2. And there aren't a lot of Christian people who believe this. You know, I've heard everything from, well, healing's no longer available, or you can't get healed, or, you know, God gives healing to cause you to be humble. You show me that in the Word, and I'll eat it. Right? You know, there's all kinds of beliefs out there. They all have to be thrown aside What does the word say? What does the word of God say? If I can't get back to this, I will never be convinced of the authority. Never. Right? Has to be based on this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation of Christ in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but let in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he would not think equality with God was something that he was going to try and get, because he was the Son of God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And here it is again, right? The same truth that we read many times in different places of the Bible. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Who exalted him? God exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Isn't that the same thing we read in Ephesians? The same thing we read in Acts, in Romans? See, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Right? Every knee, every disease, every sickness, everything bows of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. There is no place that in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. There's no area left in which you could find anything that will not bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And that every tongue, verse 11, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow, you know, what a great, great section, you know. You and I have been given the authority and right to use the name of Jesus Christ. And it's God who put that power in the name of Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. And the only thing that will ever stop us now is that we get talked out of the authority, which the Word of God clearly gives to you, right? So that's a little bit about authority. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 100 years. It doesn't matter. The authority you've been given by the Spirit of God is exactly the same. After that, it's up to you. It's up to me. So, that's it. I'll stop there.